You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Melissa Davlin, filling in for Gemma Gaudet. We know more and more about the planets that go around our sun, from a hot Venus to the gas giant Jupiter. But scientists are learning about other, sometimes more fascinating planets that circle around other stars. These are called exoplanets. This field of study is fairly young, but already scientists know exoplanets come in all shapes and sizes. From hot Earth-like planets to huge super-Jupiters, the information coming back from telescopes is changing the way we think of space. Ray Jayawardhana is an astronomer, explorer, writer, and author. He's also a professor at Cornell University, and he studies exoplanets, which he'll talk about tonight at 7:30 at the Boise State Physics First Friday Astronomy event. He joins us now in studio. Thanks so much for coming.
Pleasure to be here.
So what's the importance of studying what's beyond our solar system?
Well, it helps us put our own world and our own solar system in a broader context. It also feeds our natural curiosity about the universe that we live in. It's been quite the ride the past 25 years, when we've gone from knowing about the one planetary system that we inhabit to learning about literally thousands of alien worlds that circle other stars. And as you alluded to in the introduction, the diversity of worlds out there has turned out to be astounding and far greater than anything we could have imagined.
And since 1995, more than 4,000 exoplanets have been discovered. What are you finding out about these other worlds?
Well, we're finding out that planetary systems come in a much wider range of architectures than we would have imagined from knowing about our own solar system. And the planets themselves are in many ways quite surprising to us. There are hot Jupiters, worlds that are gaseous and giant, like our own Jupiter, except that they circle their stars every few days rather than every dozen years. So planets, some of which are similar to those in our solar system, but in places that are completely different from where they are in our own neighborhood.
So these planets are very different than what we have in our own solar system in some ways.
For the most part, though, we are always on the lookout for twins of our own Earth, because that's the one planet where for sure we know life exists. So in some ways, we're limited by the one example, and we've learned in science and certainly in exoplanet science that it's a bit dangerous to generalize from one example. And yet, we don't know how to do much better than that for now when it comes to habitable planets. And therefore, we are very much on the lookout for planets around other stars that may be rocky, that may have liquid water on their surfaces, and that may have comfortable, steady atmospheres that could be where life might be found beyond our own planet.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because when I've read about exoplanets in the past, the focus usually is on two things: whether it's like Earth and whether there might be life on those planets. But there is more to exoplanet study than that. It's a lot more nuanced than just, does it have water and a decent atmosphere?
Indeed. Those are good places to start with, but not to be limited by. So those are great questions. But at the same time, as an astronomer, I'm interested in the full range of planets out there and planetary systems out there. And it could well be that we find out about the existence of life elsewhere in an unexpected way. Rather, even though we use all the techniques and approaches that we can think of, it may well be that the first evidence emerges in an unexpected way. And so we need to, in our searches, be open to those possibilities.
You're using data from the Kepler mission. Can you tell us about the Kepler telescope and its significance and how you use that information?
Indeed. My group uses data from the Kepler spacecraft, which for 4 years stared at a tiny little patch of the sky and measured incredibly precisely the brightnesses of some 150,000 stars in that little patch. And that was a way to look for periodic dimmings of those stars as planets pass in front of them, a method that we call the transit method, where planets that happen to be on edge-on orbits pass in front of the star periodically. So Kepler was very much a planet discovery machine. It's discovered thousands of extrasolar planets this way. But we've also used data from Kepler to measure for a very small handful of planets their changing phases. Just like the phases of the moon, we can't quite see the changing phases, but we can see that different portions of the planet are illuminated as they orbit their sun. And therefore, by measuring very precisely the very tiny brightness variations, we can infer something about their makeup and their climate. So that's something we've done. But we also use many of the largest ground-based telescopes with spectroscopy to look for the presence of various elements and molecules in the atmospheres of some of the nearest exoplanets. Basically, what we're trying to do is remote sensing of these alien worlds across tens of light years, which is quite a remarkable thing to be able to do.
That's fascinating. Well, we're speaking with Ray Jayawardena, astronomy professor at Cornell University. He studies exoplanets, which he'll talk about tonight at 7:30 at the Boise State Physics First Friday Astronomy event. I have to ask, of all that you've studied, do you have a favorite planet? Or any discoveries that have stood out to you the most over the years?
That's a terrific question. I guess they fascinate me in many different ways. One planet about which we're just about completing a paper on is so hot that its atmospheric temperatures are high enough to melt metals. So in some ways, the atmosphere of this planet is similar to the atmospheres of some low-mass stars. It has, people have detected iron in vapor form, and we are reporting in this latest paper about to be submitted, I hope by next week, the detection of ionized calcium in the atmosphere of this world. So here's a world that's so different from anything in our solar system, so inhospitable to life as almost, an extreme world that presents conditions more akin to those of stars than planets that we're used to thinking of. And yet it exists, and its presence raises questions about its origin and its whether, how many other worlds like it might be out there. So you go from those kinds of worlds to far out worlds that are very distant from their parent stars as to be in a frozen hell. So I think the remarkable diversity is what I find most striking and fascinating.
It seems like you still get excited about this research and the possibilities that are out there. I don't want to read too much into this conversation, but it seems like this is still fascinating to you.
How could it not be? What's exciting is not only the fact that we're finding such wonderful things about these worlds, but also, as I mentioned before, the fact that we can not just theorize and imagine and speculate, but that we can measure, that we can actually begin to complete a first reconnaissance of alien worlds in a relatively short period of time is exciting. The pace of discovery, the pace at which we are pushing the boundaries of knowledge, is incredibly exciting and satisfying.
If somebody is coming to your talk tonight, can you give them a quick preview of what that talk is going to be like?
I'm going to share some of the most recent exciting news from the frontiers of astrophysics when it comes to exoplanets. But I'm also going to try to give a sense of the pace of discovery and provide some context about the fact that we're living through a true revolution in understanding our own place in the cosmic context. In some ways, it's not that different from when Galileo turned his telescope at the heavens 400 years ago. And in particular, noticed that there were four big moons circling Jupiter. And therefore, he could show people that not everything in the universe revolves around the Earth. And I think in many ways, the discoveries that we're making today about exoplanets is the completion of that revolution, to truly find out how we fit in to the broader universe will be revealed through these kinds of explorations.
And briefly, what's next for you in your research? What are you working on right now?
Well, we're excited about a number of upcoming telescopes and instruments on the ground, as well as the James Webb Space Telescope, which is the successor to Hubble, to be launched in 2021, which will give us capabilities that aren't within our reach today.
We've been speaking with Dr. Ray Jayawardena, astronomy professor at Cornell University. He studies exoplanets, which he'll talk about tonight at 7:30 at the Boise State Physics First Friday Astronomy Event. Thank you so much for stopping by Idaho Matters today.
My pleasure.
Up next, I'm Melissa Davlin filling in for Gemma Gaudette. We will be speaking to the organizers of the Death Rattle Writers Conference. You're listening to Idaho Matters.